Okay. Try it again. I like hitting the gavel anyway, so. Welcome to a special meeting of the Terre Haute City Council, 5:30 p.m., Thursday, February 7th, 2019. Michelle, please call the roll when you get a chance. Poor Michelle's had a lot of work to get ready for this meeting, so give her a second here.
Councilperson Azar. I'm sorry, Aller. Let's start again. Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Councilperson Azar.
Present.
Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson Devon.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Here.
Councilperson Morris.
Here.
Councilperson Nasser.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. We're a little lighthearted right now because we're here for a really nice reason tonight at 5:30. We have a presentation by some of the people who have been instrumental in bringing the Cultural Arts District to Terre Haute. And so I'm not sure who's going first. Mary, are you first?
Yes.
Okay, Mary Kramer from Art Spaces and from the Cultural Arts District Committee, or whatever
you
call it.
Thank you. Should I talk into this?
That would be great.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for allowing us this time and for coming early tonight. Look, you want to hit the first slide there. Thank you. This is all about building a strong and sustainable economy. Next slide. Through a sense of place. The National Endowment for the Arts defines creative placemaking as a practice in which partners from public, private, nonprofit, and community sectors strategically shape the physical and social character of a neighborhood, town, city, or region around arts and cultural activities and engagement. And in many cities, creativity, innovation, imagination, and entrepreneurship are recognized as being very important in growing the economy, also creating locally based, sustainable jobs, educating our children for the 21st century world and workforce, enlivening our spaces and places, large and small, and bringing together diverse communities. And this happens through collaboration between the arts and other sectors, including government, private business, corporate foundations, and others. So we're here today to talk about our newly designated Cultural Arts District, which is all about that kind of collaboration. It's a new designation for us, but the heart of the district is longstanding. And here in Terre Haute, the cultural and arts assets strongly exemplify the character of our city. Could you move to the next slide? So this is a difficult-to-read map, but it shows the rough outline of the district. And we will be presenting to you all, hopefully in time for your March meeting, just a slightly amended boundary line for that district. And you'll hear more about that. So look for that if we get it to you in time for the March meeting. I want to mention also regarding the boundaries. So we applied for this grant back in September. We were urged to apply by the Indiana Arts Commission while also being simultaneously told it would be unlikely that we would get it on the first try. We went ahead and applied, and our peer review panel gave us very high marks and moved us forward to the site visit. When the Indiana Arts Commission director and his staff member came down in November for a site visit, we marched them 5-minute stops all the way around the whole corridor or the whole district. It was pretty a breathless walk. They got greeted at various spots for 5 minutes. It was about a 2-hour session. And what was really interesting was to see how astonished they were to see all that was here. And it made us realize that, you know, the arts and culture are a big part of what has sustained Terre Haute and Terre Haute's character in all the years where industry, you know, ebbs and flows and evolves into, you know, over the decades and centuries. So there's a great deal here already. And I was just really, really noted how shocking it was, you know, for people to realize how much was here. If you could move to the next slide. This is the eastern sort of bookend of the district. And the district essentially is Poplar up to Tippecanoe. It incorporates the arts at ISU, the arts entities there. It's got about 8 museums in it. And then the western edge right now, if you go to the next slide, Hilda, is where where we are right now. Turn to the River area, as we've been calling it, is destined to be added to the district when it's completed. So right now it will stop just in front of it. Next slide. It's really hard to see. We have this glitter. It's celebratory glitter that just appeared in the projector. So anyway, just an array of the kinds of things that are happening in the district. The Children's Museum, kids coming out to see sculptures, theater, the convention center up in the right-hand corner where there will be a new museum. So just an array of all that we have here. And move to the next slide, please. And Hilda's going to talk about the impact of the cultural district in all of this.
Do you want to see the microphone?
Please.
Please.
Yes. I'm preaching to the people that already know. Impact of arts and cultural districts in Indiana is, go ahead, Mary. Supporting quality of life, economic vitality through building a creative economy, encouraging community pride, recognizing and strengthening cultural assets. When I first moved to Terre Haute, I was moving with my husband's job, and it's like, okay, what is there to do? So I was looking. So all these other companies that are going to bring people with them, they're wanting to know what is there to do, what is the quality of life. I looked in to see if there's a museum and if there's TJ Maxx, so I'm good. with the community pride, it's pretty cool because we are one of 10 cities in the whole state of Indiana now. Like, only 10 have an arts and cultural district designation with the Indiana Arts Commission. So when people say, oh, Bloomington's so cool, Columbus, Terre Haute is really cool too now. All right, go ahead. When I said Terre Haute is really cool now, we've been cool, but for other people to know that and for us to know that, the Arts and Culture District was officially recognized by the City Council in 2012 with the map and stuff, so followed by continued organic growth. What's really neat about it is that we didn't say, oh, this area right here, we're going to start putting things in, and this is going to be an Arts and Culture District. It was all organic. It's something that's been happening for a long, long time. Everybody's been responsible for it. We're just highlighting it. And on December 7th, 2018, at 10:45, I got a text from Jen that we became an official arts and culture district by the Indiana Arts Commission. Go ahead, Mary. I have to say, too, we got the highest score when we applied for the application, just in case it's missed in this conversation. Higher than Fisher's. So we already have all these great things. With the Arts and Culture District, too, we're going to work with other Arts and Culture Districts and market it as a whole. So you have people coming, you know, go to visit another one, and they say, oh, let's go to Terre Haute because it's different. They all have their local history embedded in it, so it's not like everywhere USA. So they're all different. So you go to one, you should visit all others. Go ahead, Mary. First Friday. Who's been to First Friday? Okay, it's interactive. Okay, good. We all collaborate at First Fridays. When the students come to ISU, now the person trying to sell them on ISU can say, hey, you're part of an arts and cultural district. So what does that mean? So now it's all packaged together as like, oh, you can do First Fridays. You can do, go ahead, Mary. Miracle on 7th in December. You can do, go ahead. Lose at the, I mean, there are so many things to do. And with this, it's kind of highlighting and putting everything together. I think I'm done, right? Oh, and that. Awesome. Now I'm done.
Yeah, it's fine. So one of the things to highlight from those examples that Hilda just shared is that they were the result of natural collaboration. So
the groups, the museums, the entities have all been working together to create those wonderful events. The convention center going forward is a collaboration. What we want to do is talk about the creative economy and where this how this poises us for the future. So the creative economy is made up of two sectors. You can stay where you are. Yeah, I'll tell you. The creative economy is made up of creative occupations and creative businesses. A creative occupation would be like a graphic designer at a manufacturing plant. A creative business would be like an ad agency, where they may be made up of some creative occupations, but they also might have an accountant on staff or something like that. So all of those come together to create a creative economy. Go to the next slide. They can be artisan shops. They can be commercial printers. Interestingly enough, as the world changes, web development, software, everything that's moving to the web, that is also qualified as a creative industry in a lot of areas. You can see just some examples here that are artisan creations. We've got Campbell Creek Shops, Launch. There's some events there. Those are the things that are already happening, but there's a lot of opportunity for more. Move forward. So creative entrepreneurship is a subset of the creative economy, and it's really the practice of setting up a business, whether that's an ad agency or your own artisan shop selling from another shop. It's the idea of letting the creative energies of our artists have a place to sell. They also develop intentional collaboration and economic development. I'm going to go a little deeper into that if you don't mind. Go ahead. So creative industries are actually tools for innovation in other industries. And let me give you an example of that. A traditional manufacturer who's been in a traditional industry for a lot of years, idea-generating firms or software firms can come in and help them sell in new ways. Maybe they take their product and adapt it with technology to sell it on the Internet today. Those are the kinds of industries that can help our more traditional industries thrive in the new economy. And the value of a product is higher when it's original, it's unique, it's highly performing. We see that every day with the Apples and the Googles of the world, but it's happening everywhere in middle America, too, as manufacturing firms like Wabash Valley Packaging adapt and create Box Up. There are a lot of other examples out there where bringing new technology to established businesses can create a new path forward. And I kind of mentioned that already, but the new business and market initiatives, that they come forward in the creative economy. And overall, you know, the arts and culture district and the creative economy contribute to a higher quality of life. People want to be here. So when our existing businesses are looking to expand, where do they look? They want to go where their people want to live. They want a high quality of life. They want to be where their employees want to be. So it contributes to the decision making. However, there are some challenges with that. Move forward. So always, you know, we want to get to a place where we have sustainable funding for arts and culture. We want to continue to develop it. And that's not necessarily that we just want to line on it, but we want to create continual flows. And so we need to look for those opportunities. Creativity is very intangible. It's subjective. It's hard to measure. It makes it hard to say, oh, we moved the needle here. But we need to figure out ways. We need to find the metrics that help us define what is quality of life today, how are we going to measure it, then put the plan in place, and then measure it over the course of years to make sure that we're moving the needle on it. We also need to increase the synergy between creative industries and traditional industries. And this is the hardest thing to do, because how do you just infiltrate somebody else's business, right? That's kind of what it sounds like. But ultimately, we need to find ways to put, whether it's philanthropy or government or traditional industries, there are ways to bring creative minds and creative problem solvers to the table to look at a problem from a new perspective. So this is a little hard to read, and you'll get a copy of it, but the Indiana Arts Commission conducted a study in 2016 that looked at data between 2010 and 2015 and the creative economy in Indiana. And nobody's done anything wrong here or anything. It's just, it is what it is. Our creative economy was very based in commercial printing. And what has happened in commercial printing over the last few years? As the web has evolved, they've gone away. So during a time period when our employment actually went up 2%, our creative economy jobs went down 17%, which is really frightening because those are the jobs that are software, they're tech, they're where we're going. So it really communicates to us that we need to invest in arts and culture, we need to invest in the creative economy in a way that can move the needle for our businesses going forward. Go ahead. So what we're here to talk about tonight is to celebrate, first of all, the wonderful work that's been done for decades to create this organic growth of arts and culture in Terre Haute, but also to say that the path forward is to formalize it, to formalize our collaboration, to create some entities for whom this is their job, to pay attention to it. Look for funding sources that are reliable and sustainable, so we don't feel the ebb and flow as much, but we can sustainably and in an ongoing manner contribute to it. And then poise us for regional opportunities, state opportunities. You know, the museums that we have, some of the events we have, they're world class. So we just need to get our name out there on the state and regional stage. So what we're looking to do, go ahead, is create three, well, this is kind of an initial, but right now to create an arts commission. An arts commission would be at the pleasure of city council and essentially be the liaison between government and arts, made up of a group of city council and mayoral appointees that whose job it is to pay attention, to define how arts and culture contribute to quality of life and measure it and make sure that we're making measurable gains. The second is an arts and cultural district advisory board. The advisory board would specifically be within the geographic constraints of that map that you saw earlier. And their goal is to collaborate, to make things happen, to make sure that that is a thriving, vibrant area. And downtown wayfinding, there's two goals here. One is to get people in and the other is to get people out. Getting people in off 3rd Street, off the interstate, get them into our arts and culture district. But the other is with our new convention center, get them out into downtown, get them out and exploring. We want to make sure that our wayfinding really creates some energy and a sense of place and makes people want to explore. Go ahead. So the way we kind of envision this is the arts and culture district, and it's a little hard to read, and it's kind of what I just said, but essentially the arts and culture is geographically defined, it's volunteer-based, and it's in, you know, this urban core. The Terre Haute Arts Commission is the liaison with government, and it looks for grant opportunities, looks for those opportunities on the regional stage. And then Arts Alliance is our regional arts partner. They still manage all of the grants that come from Indiana Arts Commission, and they really look on a regional basis, the 6-county area. So they're looking at the bigger picture. So you can kind of see how they all work together. Go ahead. So as we move forward, we're looking for opportunities to partner with growth. We would like the city council's, what are we looking for? We're looking for your assistance in moving forward and, you know, acknowledging that this is an important part of quality of life. We want to expand those boundaries, or actually modify is a better word for it, to match what's at the state level, what they've approved as recognized as our state, and assist us with developing a commission. So in the coming weeks, we'll be presenting some ordinances and information that you can review at your own leisure. And do you have any questions?
Last night there was a 12 points revitalization meeting, and 30 people showed up, and there's a lot of empty buildings during that little quarter on Lafayette Avenue. And then it was brought up, Neil was there, Curtis was there, I asked myself. And I'm going to ask, you know, the idea was brought up, make those art studios and allow the artist to have a rent-free for a year. You're required to pay whatever, the utilities, whatever. Would it be you that we contacted to try to get that communication going through?
Sure. So this is a great kind of project for an arts commission because it requires collaboration with the housing department. There are a lot of grants out there for programs like that. And it's really about connecting people and landlords and Absolutely. Making things happen. So that is and there are other communities that have solved this too. You know, space and artists is just, it's been around a long time, and Mary can speak to that too. But I would see that as a commission because it's Terre Haute, and it's about creating that communication stream between government and art in, you know, making those projects happen.
Okay.
It's a but so you, very I valid.
Everybody's phone number.
Right.
Thank you.
The commission.
Well, I think if anyone else has any comments, please let me know here. But I just want to say thank you so much. This is the kind of thing that is just exciting to hear about. We're so thankful for your work and getting us to this point. And I am going to go out on a limb here and guess that I speak for everyone on council that we look forward to opportunities to collaborate with
yeah,
you as
that's
this
great.
Goes forward.
And let me reiterate, it's been 25 years of work. You know,
yeah.
The Arts Corridor was first given that moniker back in the late 90s, and ever since then, the community's just rallied around it. This is just a formal designation from the state, which we're really happy about, don't get me wrong, but it's just acknowledging the great work that's been done.
Yeah, and giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
For sure.
I'd also like to say to you all and also to the public that this presentation tonight will be available on the city website as of
tomorrow.
So tomorrow, the next day. So if anybody would like to look back at it, it'll be available there. Or if you're talking to somebody else and we're excited about it, you can tell them to go look at the presentation. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you
very much.
We move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?